Good evening. This is Noreen Sumter from Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And today we are talking about real estate. So let me just go in and share with you my week, and then I can share my guest. And oh my God, I'm disconnected from our Facebook Live. Can you put us back in? So tonight I am speaking with Jeff Goodman, who is a real estate broker for Halsted. Is that right?
Yes, it is. For Halsted. Indeed.
Right. But first of all, before we have Jeff take the mic, I just want to share with you a little bit about my weekend. So my weekend was really freaking awesome. Like I had a rock star weekend, right? I went to Fashion Week Brooklyn. I always want to say Brooklyn Fashion Week, but it's Fashion Week Brooklyn, which is in New York, and it happens this time of the year, every year for the last 11 years. And it was it's presented by Brooklyn Style. And the founder is Rick Davey, who is one of the most awesome creative guys ever. And he's just really a person that helps and brings people together and gives people an opportunity to really express themselves. And the fashion was amazing. So last year I had said to Rick that he should use me as the MC, right? Because no disrespect to the MC that was there, but like, I feel like for a fashion show, you don't need to do it like you're a hype man at a rap show. Like, you know, raise the room like that, right? I thought it was a fashion show. It kind of really speaks for itself. The fashion's that good that it speaks for itself. It doesn't need any additional, you know, hyping, right? And so he said, sure, like that. And then I just left it alone. And then, you know, Fashion Week started and I got a call to come in and do it. We did it at J Street Borough Hall, inside of Borough Hall. And it was beautiful. And we were out on the steps. So they used the steps. There was Levy Lighting, who Levy NYC, they did the lighting. So it was all beautifully decorated. And I was at the top of the stairs looking absolutely magnificent. And
as always.
Thank you, darling. And I did the MC and it was so good. I wrote the script and I just did everything. It was like, it was so fun. And then I spent the evening at the Ludlow House, which is that private club in the city. My friend was DJing there. So we spent the evening there. That was fun. And then on Sunday, I went to an event. It was called In the Black. And it was like 400 black women wearing black dresses. And it was just so, so great. That was a really fun event. So thank you, Jasmine, for that. And I just had a really good weekend, you know? It's, you know, one of those weekends when you feel like you've been of service and you had a good time. I was beat up, though. I was, like, really exhausted afterwards. Because you really don't you think that you're not using a lot of energy to do these things, but you actually are, because you're tuning into other people's energies. You're tuning into other people's desires and dreams. And it's like we're all connecting. We're all vibing in one thing. And then you leave it, and I realize, oh, my God, I'm so tired. I was exhausted. But anyway, less of me and more of the evening. So tonight, like I said, I have Jeff Goodman, who is a real estate broker from Halsted Realty, is that right?
Yes, Halsted Real Estate.
Halsted Real Estate. And I always thought of Halsted as the fancy-pantsy real estate office in the city. That's when I was a realtor, they were always fancy. And I always thought, like, we're just like little peons next to them, but I still made money. It doesn't really matter. So I'd like to introduce you to Jeff Goodman from Halsted Realty. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello, Noreen. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Thank you. What made you accept the offer?
Well, I love you, number one.
Thank you.
And it's great and a lot of fun talking about my work, but also right. things about my work that the average real estate agent doesn't do.
Right.
And I had been on a television interview for maybe 7 or 8 minutes, and I was intrigued by the prospect of speaking on the air for an hour, which I've never done before.
Right. Well, this is definitely an hour. And I did see that show where you spoke for 7 or 8 minutes. I watched that. Was last year, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was last year. Uh-huh. Time goes so fast, you can't even keep track. Right. But I saw that one and I thought you were really good and you look like a real professional and it was really, really awesome. Stop looking at your face in there because you're going to start judging yourself.
Okay.
You just got to say, I look fantastic. Right. So tell me.
I've never done a Facebook Live before, so I'm seeing all the stuff dancing around. And so
oh, really?
That's why it's very
new
to me.
Are you seeing people
yeah.
like looking in?
Yeah, something
oh,
like
that. You got something you can wave at at them.
Oh.
Hey, David. Hey, David. Yes. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I mean, you didn't just arrive at real estate. What did you do prior to real estate? Who are you? What are you about? Where do you come from? Where were you born? All that good juicy
stuff. Wow. I have an hour to talk about all this, so I can start at the beginning on the first day. No. I'm a native New Yorker.
God opened up.
I'm a native New Yorker. Uh-huh. I'm from Brooklyn, like
Whereabouts?
You.
Whereabouts?
Sheepshead Bay.
Oh, cool.
Manhattan Beach specifically.
Nice.
It was a great place to grow up at a great time.
So did you go to the beach all the time?
Some of the time. But we would go to the Rockaways and also go out to other places too, like Fire
uh-huh.
Island,
uh-huh. Oh,
which
cool.
I went to when I was 9 years old for the first time. Which
and you
was,
fell in love with it.
I fell in love with it.
Go ahead.
Big
Didn't
time.
You go to Fire Island this year? You went.
Yes,
summer,
I went
right?
to my partner. Actually, he's my fiance now.
Oh, cool. Congratulations. Thank you.
We share a house with some friends at the beach, and it's not like the typical share. We sort of split it up. It's very 70s. You know, we all know each other and split the house up and take weeks with each other in Cherry Grove.
Have they still got all that deer out there?
Yes, they do. And they have no predators. So the deer, there are a lot of deer.
They freak me out.
Yeah, a lot of deer, yeah.
They freak me out, those little Bambis.
Well, they're adorable, but you can't touch them because they have ticks on them.
They're loaded with
and
ticks.
And Lyme disease, big no-no.
They're loaded with ticks. Ugh. Ooh, freaks me out.
Yep.
It's like rodents. I like fox. They're like fox to me, and I don't like fox either.
You're from a place that has a lot of fox.
We have a lot of fox, yeah. And it freaks me out. I always forget, and then I go home, and I'm coming home at 12 o'clock at night, and I see this big bushy thing coming down the street, and I'm like, my God, yeah. What is that? And then you see the ones that have been thrown out of the you know, because they run in packs, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see the ones that have been thrown out of the pack, and they're all skinny, and they've got this droopy tail. It's just a mess. It's like rats.
Well, when I went to college, we had skunk, but didn't come too close to him, but occasionally you'd see him. They were kind of fun to look at, but you didn't want to get too close to him.
Right.
For obvious reasons.
So tell me, do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have a brother and sister who were about my age, and I have a brother and sister who are 25 years my junior.
Okay. So do you have two sets of family?
We have one mother, and we have each have a set of fathers.
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, had a set. My father is no longer
right,
with us.
Right.
But,
so you had a set of fathers.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's kind of similar in my family. There's like my mother has a older set of children too. And then my father had a whole older set of, which they're old enough to be my parents, because their children are like a year younger than me. It's weird. It's just weird. But anyway, I get that. So where did you go to college?
I went to Vassar College. Mm-hmm. I went to public high school in the city. I went to a great school, Midwood High School.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to Vassar College, which is a liberal arts university in Poughkeepsie.
And what did you want to do when you went to college?
Well, before I went to college, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer.
Okay.
And then...
A nice Jewish lawyer?
Something like that, yeah.
Was that your dream or mummy's dream?
It was both, actually.
Oh, okay. All right.
But I was also interested in politics from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I was at college for a couple of months, I fell in love with the study of history.
Oh, okay.
And I thought, wow, I got to do this. This is amazing.
Right.
And then I did that for a couple of years. And my junior year found me in London.
Okay.
London, the UK, not London, Ontario.
Okay.
And as much as I love studying history and studying English history, I realized that if I go into a particular field and I get a job offer somewhere like the University of Oklahoma at Tulsa, nothing against Tulsa, but that's where I got to go. And I thought my life has too much opportunity to enjoy cities and to enjoy living, to be devoted to the study of a particular area of history.
Right.
So I decided at that point I would do something else and found my way in a sales job.
Okay, so you found your... So what was your first sales position?
My first sales position was selling debt collection services.
Oh, okay.
But it was for a company that did something a little bit unusual. And then when I was 26, I happened to meet someone at a Chamber of Commerce I was a member of. And he was selling a small advertising business that specialized in publishing travel guides for gay resorts in the States.
Okay.
So I bought that. And that was my entry into the advertising and media business, where I spent 22 years.
Oh, wow. So was that your business, or he bought it and then you went to work for him?
No, I bought it from him.
I was
actually the third owner.
Oh, see, I never quite got that. I had it that you work for them. I didn't realize that you were an owner. That's a whole different vibe now then.
Yes.
And so when did you leave that or sell it?
I sold it after 6 years in 1992. The recession hit, and the way that I built up the business, most of the costs were fixed. Right. And when advertising started to fall by the wayside, I got tired of working and not making any money, so mm-hmm. I sold that business. Mm-hmm. And then I went to work for somebody else, and specifically, it was a very unique idea. It was a direct response, direct mail business, mm-hmm. but that focused on the LGBT market.
Okay.
And I worked on a particular project, a card deck, that was not doing too well, but and I recognized that what it needed was good sales management mm-hmm. and just good administration. So I helped him turn it around, and it became successful.
So let me just pick up what you put down. So you worked on a card deck.
Yes.
Is this like a deck of cards?
Well, it's a very high-end mailing piece. Have you seen Valpax, for example, in the mail that have offers from the local cleaners?
Like the coupons.
The coupons, except this was national, and it was high-end. It was four-color separated, and the brands were much more upmarket.
Right. And so, okay. So, but like you said, it was LGBT. They didn't have Q then, but
right, LGBT, right. Well, first it was G, then G and L, then L and G, and then LGB, and then the T got added in somewhere in the 90s.
Right. Yeah. Is there a Q in there?
There is now. There's more than a Q. There's more than a Q, darling. It's LGBTQIA, and probably something else since we've sat down tonight.
Oh, my God. But I can't even keep track of that. How does, like, I mean, it used to be just gay.
Yep.
Now it's L, lesbian.
Yes.
B, bisexual.
Yes.
G.
Can't
gay.
Forget the G, yes.
LGBG.
T, transgender.
Okay, T. LGBGT.
Q is questioning.
What's questioning?
You aren't sure what you are.
Okay, and then.
Or you're questioning who you are.
Okay, and then what's the other one?
Is intersex.
Oh, I is intersex. Like, let me think for a second. Like, let's take that. Let's take a pause and we'll come right back. I'll be right back with you. I can't.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
None.
So we're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I have Jeff Goodman on the show tonight. He is a real estate agent, broker with Halsted Realty. And he
Halsted Real Estate.
Halsted Real Estate. And he is literally teaching me. I'm trying to get in the camera here. And he's literally teaching me a whole new vocabulary, or shall I say alphabet.
Or both.
What would you call it? Gay life? I don't even know what you would call it.
Because LGBT identity, queer ID. I had no idea I was coming on to talk about the movement.
We talk about everything on this show.
Wonderful. It's a whole hour, so we have to talk about a lot.
So I just want to get it. So it's L for lesbian, G for gay, B for bisexual, T for transgender, Q for questioning, I for intersex, and A for asexual.
Yes.
Yay! I feel like I was on Sesame Street.
There are two totally encompassing terms aside from all those letters.
Okay.
One is queer.
Okay.
And then another one is just non-heteronormative.
Queer.
All LGBTQIA is non-heteronormative. Doesn't fit within the standard.
Non-heteronormative. Normative.
Boy, girl, attracted to each other. That's heteronormative.
Okay.
So hence non-heteronormative is the opposite of that.
So what about non-homosexual or non-lesbian normative?
This is getting too complicated for me.
I know, it's just got my brain buzzing. Yeah. Okay, so great. So you when did
not
you
because of the L word, but just to get into all the...
I know, but when did you discover this, you were gay?
Wow, that is a personal question.
Okay,
at a young age... Uh-huh. I want to say 8, but probably before then. I had some sense of who I was.
I had a friend who realized that he was gay or attracted to men when he was 7. But he'd always known that he was gay. And then there's a little boy in my neighborhood I wouldn't call him a little boy. He's transgender. He's a girl. And his name was Oscar, and he changed it to Magic.
Mm.
And he knew from a young age of about 3 that he wasn't a boy. I think it's great. I think it's awesome. You know, it reminds me of, like, for me, it's like thinking back when I used to watch Star Trek and I thought of people, you know, there's more than, you know, man, woman. There's just going to be people, you know, and I think that's a really great way to go.
It is. And it's wonderful to live in a time and a place where it is so much more accepting for people to make those choices. Mm-hmm. But let's not forget that there are places, yes, many places in the United States,
absolutely,
and even in New York City where people are bullied.
Absolutely.
And they're, horrible things happen to them. And let's not forget what happens in repressive countries.
Absolutely.
Do not enjoy the kinds of liberty that we do.
Yes, we forget. But we do. I still think it's great that they have an opportunity if they want to come here to, you know, given the circumstances, you know, given what's going on with our government and stuff, if they want to come here, they can be who they are. Because one of my coaching business is Live Life Your Way, and which is whatever way that is for you. So I'm really committed to people living however they want to live.
And just one other, I wouldn't say a plug, but just to
plug
awareness,
it,
the suicide rate among LGBTQ teens is much, much higher than those who are not gay.
Absolutely.
And the bullying that goes on is just really, it's less prevalent, but still, one child bullied is one child too many.
One too many,
bullied.
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
In fact, there's a great nonprofit out there called the Tyler Clementi Foundation,
uh-huh,
which seeks to...
That name sounds familiar.
Yes, well, Tyler was the young man whose roommate at Rutgers filmed him online being intimate with another guy, and he ended up throwing himself off the George Washington Bridge.
Yes, I remember.
So his parents and people around him have formed this nonprofit to have programming and to try to really, as much as possible, make a difference and save teens or kids who would be bullied from that horrible, horrible reality.
Do you know what that website is?
TylerClementiFoundation.org, I believe.
Write that down. Okay, great. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you for getting so personal with our customers, with our listeners and stuff, because I think it's important. I really am committed to having this show be a mashup of not just what you do for a living, but who you are as a person and what brought you to where, you know, what trials and tribulations or joys and accomplishments that each and every one of us has gone through to make us that whole person. So thank you so much for sharing that, because that was not where we were going to go, but it's fully welcomed.
But also being a member of a minority also honed and developed my commitment for justice, and helped make me the fighting, justice-oriented person that I am.
Right.
So awesome. It's in that sense, it's been a gift, and it is a gift.
Great. I want to clap for that. So also tell me, I know you said you, I'm keep on kicking this thing, right? Tell me, so you said you were really into history, and I know how much you are really into history. It is just like one of your things, and I love history too. And tell us about your tours that you do in the city.
Oh, my tours,
plug
those,
your
right.
Tour,
okay.
Baby. Plug your tour, because it's fun.
As far as I know, I'm the only real estate agent in the city who hosts a series of regular historic and neighborhood walking tours. But one of the things that make them special is that I don't give the tours, I host them.
Right.
I met this amazing tour guide. Her name is Joyce Gold of Joyce Gold History Tours. I met her about 7 or 8 years ago at a speed networking function, actually mm-hmm. for an organization called Out Professionals, mm-hmm. which is an LGBT
Out
networking.
Out Professionals?
Out Professionals, yes.
Is it still around?
It still is around, yes. And I'm a happy,
Out
proud member.
Out Professionals.
Out Professionals. Outprofessionals.org. And Joyce told me about this, that she leads these tours, but mm-hmm. she also did private label tours for corporations and for birthdays. And, you know, I have an advertising and marketing background, and I like to have people think that I woke up in the middle of the night and went Eureka, but it was over a couple of weeks where I realized that this would be a great promotion event and a great activity
right.
for someone in my business. Because
right.
when you think about it, the big picture of what people who do what I do is not that we help people buy and sell inanimate objects in the sky or houses. A very big part of what we do is we help people create lives and lifestyles in neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
And New York, I won't say what Bono had said specifically, but New York has some amazing neighborhoods.
Okay.
And I thought, what better way to promote that aspect of what I do than to bring New York's great neighborhoods to life?
Right.
So 10 times a year now, almost once a month, except we take off for the holidays. Joyce Gold takes us on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
I even branded it, I call it Rediscovering New York.
Right.
Jeff Goodman's Rediscovering New York. Actually, because New Yorkers, you can't tell, I mean, we know everything about everything, right? So you can't tell New Yorkers that they're going to discover something,
right.
because then you're presumptuous and think that they don't know about it.
Right.
But you can certainly tell New Yorkers that they can rediscover something. And so
that's a good thing.
It's about once a month, we go on this journey and we walk around neighborhoods. And Joyce just doesn't talk to us about who built it
right.
and what the history was, but also who lived there. Who were the people? What were their lives like? Were there any interesting or fun stories at the time that she can read for newspapers? She
right.
really brings the neighborhoods to life.
Yeah.
And
I've been on a few of your tours, and they are fun. And I was going on a lot of them in the summer. And then I just got really busy on Saturdays. But I really thoroughly enjoyed them. And I have invited and friends to come on the tour even without me. And they've actually loved the tours as well. And I love to know the history of the houses, who lived there. Because it really does take you back. It takes you on a journey to see who actually lived in the house or what the neighborhood was like. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And also one of the great things about the tours is that they, you know, I feel like I won't even say the trifecta. I've really hit, like you say, across the pond, the four horse accumulator. There are four things about this that really okay. fulfill who I am as a person. It's about New York. I love this city.
Right.
It's historical. I love history.
Right.
The third, it supports my business.
Absolutely.
But fourth, it brings people together.
Absolutely.
And I have dozens of people who come to these things, and I've people meet great people, and I create this community. And I've met friends of yours who mm-hmm. are great people that I would not have met.
Mm-hmm.
Had
and
you
I've
not
met friends
along.
Of yours who are great people that I would not have met. And then I've met people in the various networks that we both belong to that you get an opportunity to spend a few hours with them, actually getting to know them. And also what's so good about the whole journey is that you get to meet people who can refer your business, you can refer their business, it's a real great connector.
Yes. And that's the other side of it too, is that it's in two parts. The first act is the tour, right?
Right.
The second act is the mixer that I host.
Right.
And you and I being, I won't even call them networkers because that's a little old world. That's a little
right.
20th century.
Connectors,
exactly. Being the committed connectors we are to connect people together who could have some benefit by knowing each other on a personal basis or through business. I'm lucky that I'm able to have these post-tour mixers where
right.
I find a bar near where the tour ends.
That's right.
And lucky I have several sponsors, including Freedom Mortgage and Thomas Siaka, who's a trust and estates attorney, and they pay for food and snacks. Right. So most people, after the walk, decide that, oh, sure, I'll go and hang out. Mm-hmm. And so people stick around, they talk, and some of the smart networkers actually meet people.
Yeah,
and
you do. You actually meet people. So what is networking for you? Tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, wow. What is networking for me now?
Okay, let's do a reverse. What is networking not for you?
Oh, networking is not meeting someone, giving them their card and saying, nice to meet you, I'm off to network with other folks.
Right. So now tell us what networking, because many people do that.
My favorite definition of networking is the creation and nurturing of social and business capital. Uh-huh. And the very important part about that is developing and nurturing it and not just establishing the contact at the
right.
beginning. And it's about taking that contact, that relationship, and turning it and nurturing it into something that can be extraordinary over the life of that relationship.
Right. And what have you learned about yourself throughout the years? Because I've known you now, what, 4 years? Is it 4 years? Could be.
I lose track, maybe.
I don't know. Whatever. Time. We've known each other for a good amount of time.
It seems like a long, long time.
It seems like a long, long time because we're connected, right? But what is it that, my question, I lost the thought, but networking, what has it provided for you personally over the years?
The biggest thing it's provided me with, believe it or not, is a sense of reward that I'm contributing to other people. Mm-hmm. Sure, I'm on the receiving end of it, but something that happens when you become a top-level connector is you end up giving far more away than you get in return.
Absolutely.
And so you can't expect that, you know, have the ledger. How much did I do and how much am I getting back?
Right.
But one of the things that's true about my life in the past couple of years, and one of the things I love about how I live, mm-hmm. is that I connect people. And
right.
when people get some benefit, either in business or personally, as a result of something that I've done, it's just really amazing.
Yeah, it is. All right, we're going to hold that thought, and then we're going to come right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
So this is Beyond Potential. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way. And I am with Jeff Goodman from Halsted Realty. Like, I didn't mess up your name, but...
No.
If I don't mess up something tonight...
I mean, Goodman's pretty hard to mess up, you know.
Goodman. So
it's like Bjork. You know what Bjork's last name is?
What is it?
Goodman's daughter. Everyone in Iceland is the name of their father's son... Or the name of the father and daughter.
Goodman's daughter?
Goodman's daughter, yeah. Anyway.
Oh, God. That's a lot.
It is.
It's a lot.
But it has the name Goodman in it, so it was relevant. So I
it's a good man. Right. And I do call you a good man. Yeah. Jeff. I said, you have to meet Jeff. He's a good man. And I guess that's why you have it on your email, one of your emails, he's a good man.
Yes. Although I actually just changed my Instagram handle today from Jeff's a good man, which sounded good but wasn't in sync with the others, to Jeff Goodman NYC.
Okay.
And that's my website, by the way, www.jeffgoodman.nyc.
Let's talk a little bit about real estate. How is the market?
About what? Oh, real estate.
How is real estate these days?
Real estate is good. The market, I typically get asked, how's the market? And my response is, which one?
Right.
We have
How many markets do we have?
Oh, many hundreds.
Okay.
By neighborhood.
Okay.
By type of property, co-op or condo or house.
Right.
By size, studio, one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom. By co-op and condo, and even within co-ops and condos, buildings have different amenities.
Right.
So all sub-markets are not created the same. And ultimately, how a market moves is going to be a reflection of the demand for that particular product relative to the supply of that particular product. Mm-hmm. So for example, you could have a... apples could be having a bad year, but if there's this amazing recipe all of a sudden that calls for Rome apples,
right,
there could be a run on Rome apples, and Rome apples will go through the roof.
Right.
So more often than not, most submarkets move in tandem with each other, but the markets are different. So for example, if you had $10 or $15 million to spend and wanted to live on 57th Street, boy, could I get a deal for you right now because there's a glut and there's an oversupply.
Wait, let's just recap. There's an oversupply of apartments that are $15 million.
Well, Billionaire's Row. I'm just using that as because okay. All the...
So 57th Street is Billionaire's Row.
Yes.
Why?
Well,
let me rephrase that. So 57th Street from where to where, east to west?
I would say from 8th Avenue to Park Avenue.
Okay.
The reason why... And remember, developers, they have to make decisions many years in advance. You have mm-hmm. to think about the real estate. You have to assemble air rights. You've got to get contracts going. So it's not like you'd say today, I want to have this particular kind of product. Mm-hmm. And then in 12 months from now, there it is to sell.
Right.
There's a much longer lead time. And as real estate was doing well and a lot of money flowed in through New York, mm-hmm. especially money that wanted to leave places that I'm not going to mention to not get political. You had an influx of a lot of cash in New York.
Right.
So all of a sudden, developers thought, wait a minute, I can build a two-bed, two-bath and maybe get $2,000 a square foot for it. But if I build a six-room, four-bath with four around views on Park Avenue mm-hmm. and I can get $6,000 for it, let me sell the square footage to the people who want to pay a lot more for that particular unit.
So basically, let me just pick up. So you're no longer selling a three-bedroom or two-bedroom, two-bath. You're now selling square footage.
Well, people will always evaluate, especially condominiums, people will more often than not evaluate the price on a per-square-foot basis.
Mm-hmm.
So, but if people are willing to pay a lot more per square foot for super luxury,
mm-hmm.
As a developer and a builder, why wouldn't you go where the money is?
Right.
And then so you started having the mass do it. You know, you have developer after developer. Well, there are only so many billionaires in the world who can afford to purchase that kind. And so there's more of a supply relative to the demand for that product than was the case 4 or 5 years ago.
So what are they going to do with them?
The prices will have to come down, or they'll rent them out, or eventually inventory in the markets take care of themselves. It could be medium or long term, but eventually they work themselves out.
Right.
And sometimes developers can lose money on particular projects, but if someone has been in the business a long time, they make a lot of money on a lot of projects. Maybe they don't make some on others, and balance. It balances out, and they eventually, most of them do make a profit.
Hmm.
Now, on the other hand, if you were looking for a two-bed, two-bath condo in West Harlem, the prices on a per square foot basis are more than they've ever been. The heat of the market has come out a little bit, so you might not get as many people who are rushing in, because there are some people now, even in those submarkets, who are a little hesitant if something mm-hmm. seems like it's expensive. But in these submarkets, the contract prices... Not the asking prices.
Right.
The contract prices continue to increase.
So what's the difference between, I used to be in real estate, and like they said, you either use it or you don't, or you, when you don't use it, you lose it. I have no concept about this industry anymore. It's just people call me and say, do you know what's, I'm like, I don't know what's going on. It's not my business anymore. So I don't really care, you know? But so like when you say the contract price and the asking price, what's the difference?
Oh, the asking price is what you're telling the market you want for. Mm-hmm. The contract price is the meeting of the minds. Agreement. It's the actual trade.
Okay. And so is it like a good time for people? Would you say it's a good time for people to buy who want to come into the market because they can negotiate better? Or,
well, it depends. If you can't just look at it as an asset that is not worth it, that only has intrinsic value.
Right.
What people just don't buy an asset when they buy homes. They buy a dream and they buy into a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So you can't just think, well, is it the, you know, am I hitting it at the exact right time? You also have to think about what's my life going to be like, mm-hmm. and if I'm going to be in this home for 10 years or 12 years or 7 years, chances are that the market is going to be better and the asset's going to be worth more when you're ready to sell.
Right.
So it's always a good time, I think, to buy homes, especially that even though the blue states got it stuck to us a little bit in the tax law, mm-hmm. There still are tax advantages by owning your own home. And when you pay rent, there's no tax advantage.
Nothing.
You're paying for a particular service. I won't say it's going out the window because you're getting value. You're getting a home. But when you own a home, the long-term benefits, I think, are better than renting.
So what would you say to a person that is looking to buy an apartment? Okay, I'm going to give you an example. So I was a realtor for 15 years in Brooklyn, and I had a client who I'd shown an apartment and shown him many apartments, even though I didn't show a lot of apartments at the time. I just showed maybe one or two, and something would happen, right? But I showed him a couple of apartments. He didn't buy anything, and he went to other people and didn't buy anything. And I just happened to meet with him in the summer at an event, and he was like, Noreen. And I was like, oh. He goes, you showed me many apartments. I said, oh, did you buy? Didn't you get excited? Somebody says, you showed me many apartments. You're assuming, you know, you're hoping, I was hoping that he would have bought one at that time because it was far cheaper than it is now, right? So I said, did you ever buy one? And he said, no. I said, why? And he goes, I just couldn't get it together. And now I can't afford to buy one. So what would you say to a person that is looking to buy a place? How would you suggest they buy? Would you suggest that they buy with their pockets, their heart, or just visually?
All of the above. Mm-hmm. And by the way, the person can buy. The question is, are they willing to buy in a place that they can afford?
Right.
Because everything has a price point. There are lots of places. There are places that are not that expensive. Mm-hmm. But some people go, I don't want to take the subway 40 minutes, but you know.
So would you say that again? So there are lots of places that people can afford.
Absolutely. Sure. It's a question of how long it's going to take you to commute to get to them.
Right.
You know, when I was ready to buy a home, when you're a first-time home buyer, you frequently have to give something up to get part of a larger dream.
Okay. Can you express what you think
yes.
that is?
I lived in the East Village, mm-hmm. and I loved living in the East Village, and I missed the East Village. Mm-hmm. But when it was time for my partner and I had been together for 16 years and lived different places. We mm-hmm. both had rent-regulated apartments. Mm-hmm. And the years went by, and all of a sudden 16 years went by, and it's like, what are we doing? You know, we met in our 30s, and we were in our 50s. And we wanted to get a place together, mm-hmm. But we didn't want to get a small one-bedroom. We mm-hmm. wanted to get a two-bedroom, hopefully two-bathroom. Mm-hmm. As for what we could afford to be on this island and to be within commutable distance from my business, mm-hmm. What was on the radar was East Harlem. Now, I would have rather stayed in the East Village, but by giving up my desire to be in the best neighborhood that I love living in the most, we ended up being able to invest in something that we now have a piece of the rock on, mm-hmm. and that's also appreciated in value, mm-hmm. and that's actually made it possible for us to borrow against that mm-hmm. and to buy a piece of investment real estate.
Nice.
So when you're a first-time home buyer, more often than not, it requires you giving up something that's not as important for the thing that you're going to get that ultimately is more important.
Right. I remember.
And for a lot of people, it's not living in the place they'd love to live, number
right.
one.
So I remember selling apartments to people, and they'd be like, they'd look at the apartment and go, oh, I just don't want to do any work. And sometimes it might have been just doing the floors, painting the walls, and then you work on your kitchen later. What would you say, like the bones, what are good bones of an apartment?
Well, good bones of an apartment it's the eye of the beholder.
Right.
You know, if it's something that is salvageable or that you can work with. And, you know, a lot of people, more and more people want something that's turnkey and with this less work. But mm-hmm. people are willing to, that's one of the accommodations or the sacrifices that someone's going to make. It's I'm getting a really good deal. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to either carry two places to live while this is renovated. Or, you know, I'm going to do it on a budget and I'm going to live here for a bit and it's going to be a labor of love. I've known lots of people mm-hmm. who do that. It's much easier to do when you have more than one bathroom.
Right.
And more than one bedroom. And the good thing about New York is that there's so much takeout that if your kitchen's being redone over the course of 3 weeks, it's not the worst thing in the world not to be able to cook.
And it's not the worst thing because there are gyms that have bathrooms and stuff. if you really want the spot and you're really hungry for it, you'll work it out. You'll work it out.
Yeah. Speaking of which, real estate, when I was studying in London, I ran out of money. Mm-hmm. And my flatmate and I, we moved to a squat in Archway.
Oh, Jesus.
And but I had a job at the student union in Ensley Place. So I did my research during the day and I would do all my bathing at the student union, even though we had no hot water or no electricity at in Bickerton Road.
But back in the days, there were a lot of squats.
Yes, yes.
I think that's how a lot of people sort of lived their lives, is through squatting. And you know what? They didn't have, there were such things as squatters' rights, and you did live in those apartments or houses for quite some time, and over a period of time, you could actually take them over.
Yes, or you could save the money. Yeah. You know, the squat I lived in Bickerton Road and Archway,
the Archway people, was nice.
Yeah. Well, in those days, it was rougher than it is now. Oh. We're talking about 1980.
Okay.
The people had been living there before, family, and they had made it work, and they had managed to save up enough money by not paying rent.
Right.
And they bought their own. They bought their own home.
Yeah. There's a lot of those stories out there. So we're gonna take a break, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us, right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
We're back. This is Noreen Sumter on Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And I'm speaking to Jeff Goodman at Halsted of Halsted Realty.
Real estate.
Let me do it again. This is Noreen Sumter from
our legal department.
Beyond Potential. Live life your way. And tonight I'm speaking with Jeff Goodman from Halsted
Real Estate.
Real estate. Not realty. Real estate. It's terrible. Okay, so I did have a question. Oh, I have a question for people that are listening. If you have a real estate question, or if you have a concern, I know Miss Jacqueline, she has a real estate question right now. Call in at 877-480-4120. Let me do it again. 877-480-4120. Call in and ask your real estate question, and maybe Jeff will be able to answer it for you. So you only do sales.
I do rentals as well.
Occasionally?
But yes, I do rentals by referral.
Right. And so let me ask you about people that have gone out there and try to sell and rent their apartments by themselves. Tell me a little bit about what's your gut on that.
Oh, gosh. Well, we call them something in the sales arena. We call them FSBOs.
Okay.
Which are for sale by owner.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes people think of the fee that's incurred when we do the work as an expense.
Mm-hmm.
The smart people realize it's an investment. Mm-hmm. So there have been lots of surveys, third-party surveys, that show that over the years that when you try to sell a home on your own, you could get 12, 14, 15% less mm-hmm. than if you have a licensed real estate agent do it.
Right.
Do the math. The commission 6%, sometimes less if it's negotiated on a bigger deal.
So I didn't sell my apartment. I had an apartment. When I first, 3 years after living in New York City, I bought an apartment in Brooklyn. I put $9,500 down, and the negotiated that the seller at the time pay my maintenance and my closing costs. They paid my maintenance for, like, I think it was a year and a half, maybe more, and they paid my closing costs, and I owed $9,500, but that was really great. But when it came time for me to sell it X amount of years later, the maintenance was ridiculous. My maintenance was like $1,500. The apartment was like 850 square feet. It was beautiful duplex, but the maintenance was ridiculous. And so I decided that I was not going to sell it myself because it's like doing back surgery. Like, if I'm a doctor, am I going to do my own back surgery? No.
Good analogy.
And I gave it to a real estate broker, and they sold it. One of the things at the time they wanted me to do was renovate the kitchen. I was like, hell no, I'm not going to renovate the kitchen. Because the fact is that the person that bought the apartment literally got reno the place and did it himself. Now, if I had to spend $10,000, $15,000 renovating, I would have been really pissed off because it would have been all ripped out. So what would you advise? Do you advise people to renovate, or what do you do?
That's a great question, Noreen. More and more people, especially in New York, are looking for properties that are turnkey, which they don't have to do anything.
Right.
So if you spend a nominal or reasonable amount and the finishes are pretty neutral,
mm-hmm.
you will get more than your money back.
I just wasn't even. But
for some people, look, I just had a closing for an estate sale today. I'm representing another estate. I'm meeting with a potential client on Friday. It's another estate, and for in those scenarios, for the sellers to think about doing a complete renovation, it's not, you know,
not worth it.
Well, it could be worth it, but then they have to get engaged in a many, many month project. They have to become construction managers, and they probably would make a profit. But the estate's thinking is, it's been this way for 40 years, 30 years. Let someone else take it on. And then the discount in the asset will be appropriate to a person who will get a good deal by buying a place that needs a gut renovation.
Right. So we have Rob on the line. We have two people on the line. So we have Rob on the line. Hi, Rob.
Hi.
Hi, Rob.
Thank you. This has been very interesting tonight to hear from both you guys. So thank you for the show tonight. It's been very informative.
Thank you for listening.
But my question is, I am a small business person. I'm a solopreneur,
mm-hmm.
and I'm interested in gearing up to buy an apartment. I know I'm a few years away from that, but I wonder if Jeff could give some advice for people like me who, you know, we have an unstable income, how we can prepare to get ready to invest in real estate in New York City.
That's a good question. Save as much as you can. Also, because in New York, most of the apartments for sale are actually cooperatives. They're not condominiums. They're not real property. And with cooperatives, you just if you're a seller, you just can't sell to someone who's going to buy. You have a cooperative board. And we have a saying in real estate that a contract of sale in a co-op is really only a letter of permission to the board to allow the transfer of the shares. So you have to have enough saved up and enough in liquid assets after closing where a co-op board will say, okay, you know, this person, they're responsible with their finances. They'll be able to pay the expenses of the house, even if one of them has an unexpected shortfall in income. But this is a conundrum that a lot of potential buyers face, is not having the down payment available. There are options where you could potentially buy a piece of real estate with as little as 3% down. That's through the Federal Housing Association program, FHA. You can do it for as little as 3%, but that's not going to include co-ops.
Right.
And the condominiums or the houses have to be FHA approved.
Right.
And so also the neighborhoods are much more limited as a result.
Right.
You're not going to find something in Hell's Kitchen that's FHA approved.
Sure.
Probably not.
Can I just put my 2 cents in?
Of course.
It's your radio show. You can do what you want. And I'm not in real estate anymore, but I would say save as much as you can. I would say keep the conversation alive in going out and seeing as many apartments as you can, because you're going to have to be able to discover what it is you want, right? What's important to you. And, you know, go to neighborhoods that you fancy and just like really sort of keep your ear to the ground. And also get yourself, find out what you need from a mortgage broker.
Yes.
Go visit a mortgage broker. Mm. And get the information that you need. I have a great mortgage broker that I could refer to you. But
so do
I. Send us an email and we'll get that to you.
Oh, and, okay. and another great way to look into neighborhoods is to participate in a little
tools.
Activity called Jeff Goodman's Rediscovering New York.
Okay, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. That's very helpful. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Rob.
All right.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you, Noreen?
I'm great. How can we help
what
you?
What a great show you've got tonight. And, Jeff, thank you so much. And your walking tours, I have to confess, I've been on several. And if you haven't been on them, anybody listening, I encourage you to do so.
Well, thanks.
I've learned a lot about New York neighborhoods from them. And here's my question. Let's say you've been renting a while and you decide you want to buy something and you want it in the you mentioned the East Harlem area. And I know that you talked about submarkets based on number of bedrooms and bathrooms and amenities of the building and on the list goes. But if you were to say to somebody, like your last caller who's saving up to buy an apartment and an entry-level buying, what would the hot one or two neighborhoods be where he could get into and afford something and where you think it's the growth area?
That's a really good question.
Billionaire's Row.
It depends on a lot. There are a lot of people who are not comfortable with certain neighborhoods that would be considered edgy, and there are some people who are more comfortable with it. There are some people who have as a requirement that they're within a certain amount of commutable minutes distance from a certain place. So, Jerry, I think the answer is to look around and feel around, but you know, just a couple of neighborhoods. The Bronx, for example, is up and coming.
The Bronx is on fire.
Part of it's on fire, but even along the Grand Concourse, you can get co-ops and beautiful Art Deco buildings for a fraction of what they would cost in Manhattan. I know that, for example, Midwood and Flatbush are up and coming, and I have helped people buy in those neighborhoods, and it's much, much less than in downtown
Brooklyn.
Oh, there's
some beautiful apartments in Flatbush.
And now I'm even looking, I've looked with several buyers in East New York for houses. Right. Where, you know, when I was growing up, when I first started taking the subway in the 70s, that was one of the neighborhoods that my friends circled in red and said, do not go there.
Right.
Now it's different. Now I would buy an investment property in East New York. I don't know that I would quite live in East New York
yet,
but I certainly would right now. Yes, but I certainly would be willing to do it.
Right. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, that's been very helpful, because you always, when I moved to New York, I moved into Chelsea and I've been staying around the Chelsea area. But now I'm seeing that, for example, in Harlem is becoming very gentrified and it's a lot of urban renewal up there. I see what's going on in the Bronx. It's almost like you have to catch the wave in New York. You know.
Well, I say you have to be the wave. Don't catch it. Be the wave.
I like that. Well, thanks a lot. It's a great show, and I really appreciate the information from Jeff and everybody. And thanks a lot for both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Jerry.
So, Cindy, we have Cindy on the line.
Yes, hi. How are you?
I'm great. Is this Cindy Bashram?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Cindy Lovitz.
Hi, Cindy Lovitz. How are you?
Hello, Cindy.
I'm good. By the way, great to hear both you and Jeff tonight.
Cindy is my acupuncturist, by the way.
You're so great at matching people up with the right places, the right apartments. Can you speak a little bit about your process of how you manage to make such great matches for people, find the place that really, really answers
their dreams?
You're going
to have to do that in 50 seconds.
Okay, thank you, Cindy. By the way, Cindy is my acupuncturist and is amazing. I'm thankful to have a level of health I do because of the fine care that I get from Cindy.
And she's been mine too.
What I do is I ask people, you know, what's, I don't just say what neighborhoods are you interested in. I say, you know, what's important for you? Tell me what your home is like. Tell me what's very important, what's less important. And then if they don't have an idea of the neighborhood or the neighborhood is not a match based on income, I make suggestions. I say, well, have you considered this? And I've had people who've thought about that. And sometimes looking for a home can be, and looking for a neighborhood and deciding on a neighborhood can be a long process. But someone who's patient and is willing to take the time to work with buyers. I have some buyers that I've been working for several years with. That could be part of the process.
So I hope that answered your question.
For a lot of people, it's like a tremendous stress to try to figure out how to go about looking for the right place.
Right. So Cindy, we're running out of time. Thank you for calling into the show.
Yeah, do it.
I'm sorry to cut you. But time is of the essence, and I have to say thank you, Jeff, for joining me on the Beyond Potential Live Life Your Way. Did you have fun?
Noreen, I had a great time. More fun than I even imagined.
I'm so happy.
It's so great to see you, and I really appreciate being able to have this conversation with you.
Thank you.
Always wonderful to see you.
Thank you. And thank you for joining the show, and thank you for all our people calling in. We love callers in. And this is Noreen Sumter signing off from Beyond Potential. Live life your way, not your mama's way, not your papa's way, your way. See you next week. Bye.
Ta-da.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio, Godwin. Together, we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
listening to the Talking Alternative Network.